Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you in worship in person and also online. If you haven't found the bulletin yet online, please go to our website. On the head of that website, you'll see a link that says Staying Connected to God's Word. You can click on that, or also go to the media link and you'll find the bulletin there. Fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. Epiphany emphasizing the appearing of Jesus in human flesh. And something that happened to Jesus is perhaps something that we can relate to. Do you know what it is like to have people like you as long as you are seen as useful to them? It happens in our homes, in the workplaces, and it also can happen in the church. Jesus was treated like this, and in too often still is, but not by you and me, right? Jesus is useful in all aspects of life and is to be liked by us not just when we feel he is useful to us. And so we worship today with the goal that our view of Jesus will remain genuine. Praise God for such an opportunity. I invite your attention now to the invocation on page 3. My soul finds rest in God alone.
My salvation comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation.
He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God.
He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in him at all times, O people.
Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God for his amazing grace.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with the singing of God has spoken by his prophets.
Thank you.
reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, where God makes the impossible possible while also at the same time showing that the gospel has always been meant for all people. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God had not rejected his people Israel. They, on the other hand, did reject him. And the way of salvation has not changed over time. It's still by grace through faith. A reminder of this, a reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 10. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, "I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding." And Isaiah boldly says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me." But concerning Israel, he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." And what was God's answer to him? "I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal." So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A baby in a manger.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Our reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the fourth chapter. While Jesus may have been liked by the people, he was not the Savior they wanted. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace still remain yours in great abundance, and this is all thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, in whose name we meditate today. Amen. We want to focus back in on the words of the Gospel of Luke, where we hear once again, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and a meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the grace of God we have also come to be amazed at Jesus and his teachings, and do by the grace of God once again genuinely like Jesus. Have you ever felt disrespected by family or peers or co-workers or someone especially you were trying to make a connection with, not necessarily in an intimate way, but just trying to connect with that person? Maybe you are the youngest in the family, and so you are looked down on as having nothing to offer. Maybe you do not have letters behind your name, and so your advice is ignored. Maybe you have not become Mr. or Miss Popular on campus because you are not willing to be a bully or brag about your accomplishments, or you are not into using people so to get your way and then disregard those people once you get your way. And too often people who give attention to such people, they want attention as well, and so they go along with it. Do people connect with other people only out of self-gain? They do not, thankfully. The conversation, though, does cause us to pause for a moment and to reflect on our motives for going to people or for ignoring people. Jesus can relate. He was ignored by people who felt no need for who he was and what he had to offer. Some liked him as long as he was deemed useful to them, filling their stomachs and healing their diseases. Some people genuinely did like him for the right reasons. Today we're reminded of a group of people who were amazed at his teachings, but then ended up not liking him. And then we also hear about a group of people who also were amazed at his teachings and did end up genuinely liking Jesus. Which of those two groups do you fall into? As we think about that, God help us always be amazed at the teachings of Jesus and mean it. And we can show that we mean it by actively listening to what he has to say. And then also then by passing on what Jesus has to say. Listening to Jesus' voice includes actively being in his word and genuinely listening to his word. Because in his word, as Jesus speaks, as we are reminded of throughout the season of Epiphany, Jesus identifies himself. He knew who he was and is. He didn't need his identity given to him by the crowds of people, then or now. He was confident in his identity. He was the one that the prophets spoke about. And so really, the Israelites to whom Jesus appeared to in the flesh were without excuse, as they were familiar with the Old Testament prophets, as we've heard before. They should have recognized him by the teachings that he had to say, teachings that were spoken through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. They should have recognized him by the miracles that he was able to do. He did not have to do a bunch of hocus pocus or put people in a private tent and then have them come out surprised all healing. He was able to heal them in front of people. He was able to raise the dead. So why would they refuse to recognize Jesus for who he is, given his voice and given his actions? Well, the same reason why people reject Jesus today. Even though all the evidence is there about who Jesus is and why he matters, because of stubborn hearts by nature. But thankfully, despite our stubbornness, Jesus, confident in his identity and why he had come to earth, came to carry out what he did, what he came to do. I mean, he could have, after people rejected him and people were trying to throw him off a cliff, going, "Father, really? I'm not going to do this." But he knew there was something even worse than being thrown off a cliff waiting for him, and still went ahead with it. He was trying to help people see the need for why he came. And that's still the case today. Because if people don't know they're sick, well, then they don't go to a doctor, and then they don't get help. And there's an illness all of us have. I mean, it's evident in our words and our actions. It's evident in our thoughts. Maybe we don't make the nightly news, but we're all guilty of sin in one form or another. And we definitely see evidence of sin in the world, that something is not right. And what explains it? Well, the Bible explains the root problem of what's going on in our hearts and in our minds and in the lives of those around us. It's called that three-letter word, sin. And it kills. Not everyone's going to die of cancer. Not everyone's going to die of COVID. But everyone's going to die as a result of sin. But not everyone has to die eternally. That's why Jesus came. To rescue us from that eternal consequence that has come as a result of sin. And so he willingly went to the cross, being beaten along the way, because that's what had to happen for people to be rescued from the consequences of our sin, and to not have our sins continually held against us. Because through that cross, he has won complete, full forgiveness for each and every one of us. It's forgiveness that we don't have to pay back by a life of work righteousness. It's forgiveness we don't have to pay back like a loan. It's a free gift. By grace, we are saved through faith. Not faith and works, but through faith. That's what Jesus has done for us. Don't we want to listen to the voice of a Savior who has done that for us, who didn't deserve such? His message is pleasing to the ear, unless we don't want to admit our sin. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit has led us to admit our sin and to see our need for the Savior and to see who that Savior is. Jesus, true God and true man, who came in flesh, fulfilling the words of the prophet all the way to the cross and then rose again. But before that cross, as noted, there was much rejection. Apart from sin and sinful stubbornness, why were the people rejecting Jesus, even in his hometown? Well, that was part of it. They watched Jesus grow up. They were almost too familiar. Now, that's not God's fault or Jesus' fault, but the people. How could this little boy, whom we saw grow up, whom we saw help nail boards with his father, how could this one be the Savior as he claims? And so since they couldn't get past that in their mind, they were willing to kill Jesus. And eventually they did. But all part of a plan. You know, they said, "Hey, Jesus, if you do a miracle for us, well, then we'll believe you." You can almost see Jesus scratching his head going, "What have I been doing?" He knew better. He knew their hearts. He knew it would not take another miracle because they had seen miracle after miracle already. Their hearts were stubborn because this is how we start out by nature. And after the fall into sin, we can still reject God, and that's what they were doing. Proof of this, Romans 3, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God." Or Ephesians 2 reminds us, "We were by nature objects of wrath." Psalm 51, King David reminds us that, "In sin did my mother conceive me." We start out as God's enemies, wanting nothing to do with him. And apart from the Holy Spirit working in us through the means of grace, we remain that way. Not just then for the people, but still today. We can't use the excuse today that they're too familiar with Jesus, that we saw him grow up as a little child. So that's why we can't believe that he's the Messiah. But unfortunately, we still remain in our stubbornness, and that shows itself by being cynical, especially of any good news, especially of saying forgiveness is free, no strings attached. Well, we are so accustomed to having strings attached with salespeople, with their slick smiles and everything. There must be a string attached. Oh, by the way, did you read the fine print? "You just signed your house over to me. Ah, don't worry about it." Or, "Buy this and you get a bike for free. But I got to buy something first." So is it any wonder why we're cynical and remain cynical? Is it any wonder why people today, especially younger people, are turned off of institutions? I mean, we have to admit, institutions, by and large, have let people down. Whether that be government or business or even churches. But we need to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But as we try to understand where people are coming from, we take a step back and, okay, we see where you're coming from, but now look where we're coming from. Jesus isn't into self-help because he knows we can't help ourselves. He is into offering us help. And he's the only help that really, truly can help us. He knows what he's dealing with. He knows as we try to witness on his behalf what we are dealing with. We are dealing with, as Paul describes in his letter to Timothy, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, abusive, disobedient, not lovers of the good, having a form of godliness, but empty of its power. Jesus knows what he's up against. And he lets us know what we're up against. But he's able to break through that as we listen to his voice. And as we listen to his voice and the message that he has for us to share, he encourages us to indeed pass it on to him Be amazed at his teaching and mean it by passing it on to others. Hey, I got good news for you. I got something different. I know institutions have let you down. But again, look past the earthly aspect of that institution, of the church in particular, and see who's behind it. God. Who indeed does love you. So much so, he sent his one and only Son to save you. His teachings are not the same. Same old message of work righteousness. No, his message is of free and full forgiveness. His message is not just for the here and now. His message is for the here and hereafter. His message doesn't give us a plausible hope, but a real, sustainable hope. He gives us that win-win focus in life and in death, in sickness and in health. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He cares for us and so reminds us to cast all our anxiety on him. He tells us, do not worry about today or tomorrow. Let me do that. Because he knows us. He cares about us. And he knows we're not always the fastest in passing things on to him. And so we need reminders like this that his teachings are amazing. We do well to listen to his voice for ourselves and then to pass it on to others because he has a message that gives peace and life and focus. He reminds us that the love of Christ compels us to listen to his voice and to live for him because we no longer, as his own, live for ourselves, but rather for him who lived and died for us and lives again. His message is not the same old message. And as we listen to his voice and we pass on his message to others, he didn't say it was going to be easy, did he? It's going to come with trial and tribulation and rejection. If you've ever gone door to door trying to advertise a community connection event in the hope of witnessing Jesus, have you been reluctant in a sense to knock on that door of fear of rejection? That your nose is going to get broken? That's why we go in two, so the other guy's nose will be broken. Now we go in twos to encourage one another. Because we know, unfortunately, we will face rejection. Maybe it won't be in your face, but sometimes it can be. And then how exciting it is, right, to have somebody actually have a conversation with you. And that motivates us to go on. So as we witness, whether it be to our family, to our peers, our coworkers, to complete strangers, Jesus says, be ready for rejection. Maybe because they're too familiar with you. I knew you as a child. I knew what you tried to get away with. Yeah, I can change by the grace of God. This is sometimes, too, why they encourage call workers not to go back to where they grew up. Not because necessarily they did something wrong, but because of perception. Or even vicars. Everybody loves the vicar. You're gone in a year. What could he mess up? But now come back, the buck stops with you. Jesus knows what he's talking about. And the reason why he encourages us to stay amazed at his teachings and to listen to his voice and to pass it on is because he wants all people to be saved. In Jesus, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no color of skin, male or female. Galatians, all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all are one in Christ. Or Revelation 7, who are we going to see in heaven? There's a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. There's the urgency. There's the motivation. The proof is before us that Jesus came for all people. And we are the messengers God uses to get that message to all people. Now, some people may generally like you and appreciate you. They may even appreciate the Bible message that you live around them and that you share with them. Give thanks to God for that. Well, others may openly show their hostility towards you, especially when you try to live the Bible around them and share the voice of Jesus with them, because the message flies in their face. The problem is not with you, but with them. Life, especially as a Christian, is not and is not to be viewed as a popularity contest. And so we ask God to help us stay amazed at the teachings of Jesus and to genuinely like Jesus for who he is. Showing this by our continued listening to his voice and by our willingness to pass his voice on to others. To that end, God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and direct your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as found on page 10. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
At this time, we continue with the prayer of the church on page 11. We pray, Dear Father in heaven, with your gift of a Savior, you restored hope for our fallen world and brought glory to your name. We thank you for the good news that you have reconciled the world to yourself through your Son.
Be with us as you give us opportunities to proclaim your glorious name of salvation in Jesus Christ our Savior.
O Jesus, Lamb of God, we praise you for offering yourself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all. On the cross, you declared the sacrifice for sins completed. At the open tomb, you assured the world that sinners are reconciled to God.
Give us as you have promised, so that we may be bold and confident witnesses to your name.
Holy Spirit, blessed counselor, use your word of truth and power to break down the barriers to our witness, including fallen mankind's natural hatred for God and Satan's wicked work among us.
Empower us by your gospel and encourage us to be faithful, fervent witnesses to the people among whom we live and work.
Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Lord, continue to grant healing to Pastor Ron Waterstrat, recovering from knee surgery. Also, be with John Lervold and David Call, who are dealing with multiple health challenges at this time. Grant minds and hearts at rest for Helen Bishop and for Jack Fox's mother as they endure health struggles in the sunset years of their life on earth. Remain with the Duane Carlson family as they mourn the death of Melody, wife, mother, grandmother, friend. Also be with the family of Greg Meyer as they mourn the death of his sister-in-law. Thank you for the faith you have given to these ladies and to the families, which enables these families to have peace and joy amidst the loss and sadness. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. May those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us by the power of your word into the mission fields beyond the walls of our church. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that seize the opportunities you set before us to be your witnesses.
Guide us, strengthen us, and bless us as we declare Christ to our world. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. Savior, Jesus Christ. Take and drink this is and my blood. Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace and with joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. To God be glory.
A day that will be. Just to highlight a few announcements, we have a Bible study taking place in a few minutes here in the church proper. We're still looking at the commandments and applying them to our day-to-day life. Again, those commandments are not new. Praise the Lord for his consistency, but are putting them into practice. We always have room for improvement when it comes to that. And then The teens are looking at hard sayings of Jesus in the teen room. Sunday school will start out at 9:15 in the chapel with singing of songs. You're welcome to join them. There will be no starting point this Tuesday night, so a week off from the starting point class, and then we'll meet again the following Tuesday at 6:30. The victory service for Melody Carson is scheduled for this coming Friday at 11 a.m. here at the church. So continue to keep the family in your prayers, and we rejoice in the victory that Melody has been given. Family Connect opportunity next Sunday after the late service, a meal and some fun. So if you have children, young children especially, please see the weekly news regarding that event, and then reach out to Ryan and Kaisa Miller, who are coordinating this Family Connect opportunity. Jody Rowe, the teacher that we called for grades 3 and 4, she accepted. So we're thankful for that news, that the Lord led her to that decision, and we pray that where she's at West Lutheran High School, they will find a teacher to replace her. That will begin July 1 of this, so that's when she'll start moving with her family in June, and her call technically begins July 1. We're thankful for her taking that call, and again, we're thankful that Hannah Ripley was willing to go to Junior K to help make room for the grade 3-4 call and widen the pool of candidates for consideration. So a lot of moving parts, but all in the right direction. And then just see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school to add to your own busy lives. Have a great day in the Lord, and think about whose door, not necessarily literally, you're going to knock on this week and encourage or share Jesus with. Thank you.